Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockenswith here. Still talking Penn State football, some Penn State recruiting. Adam Friedman, Mid-Atlantic recruiting analyst for Rivals, joins us now to really take us through the 2019 cycle and what Penn State has been up to in its traditional footprint here in the Mid-Atlantic. Adam, thanks for tuning in, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having me.
And first off, congratulations. It seems like you're a Washington Capitals fan, winning the Cup.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, big fan of the Caps. You know, it's been tough over the last few years with your Pittsburgh Penguins, you know, really putting a damper on this last few seasons. But this year, it was good to get over the hump.
The breakthrough. I'm happy for you. And I wanted to talk to you about what Penn State's been up to in the 19 cycle. Big recruiting weekend they just came off of. A lot of big-time players were on campus for official visits and that sort of thing. Do you have any takeaways or any thoughts, early thoughts on what Penn State was able to do, either to get those guys on campus or any progress you feel like they might have made with some of their big targets?
It seems like this recruiting season, this visiting schedule that Penn State's put together lately has been very calculated, even more so than the past few years, especially in regards to the defensive back recruiting. We saw everything that went down with Cameron Kelly, who ended up committing to Virginia Tech. At one point, it looked like Penn State was going to be the choice, and then Clemson, and then a few other schools. He eventually landed on Virginia Tech, and mainly because he didn't end up at Penn State, because I think they're focused more on Lewis Sane and Lance Dixon, also kind of that outside linebacker, hybrid defensive back role. And I think, you know, having both of them on campus this past weekend was a big move for Penn State. Certainly, targeting a big-time tight end and wide receivers, running backs, you know, wanting to get more quarterback depth there, you know, having Michael Johnson on campus, and a longtime wide receiver target, John Metchie, was back on campus too for an official visit. So very calculated official visit schedule for Penn State this spring. It seems even more calculated than in years past.
Does the new calendar have anything to do with those calculations, as you put it? How is the first, you know, this seems like it's going to set up in a lot of cases with the ability to take earlier official visits. This seems like the time when you're going to get a lot more action than you might have in years past.
Yeah, I think major targets emerge earlier now with these earlier official visits. You know, you can see how Penn State really shifted their focus in the defensive backboard to Lewis Sine, to Lance Dixon, and really helping, you know, it really helps them weed out prospects that they're not necessarily interested in, and it helps them make more of an impression on players that they know they really want. And I think that's the biggest thing right now. You know, John Metchie's always been a major target, and Penn State emphasizing their interest in Billingsley, the tight end, John Dunmore, a highly coveted wide receiver out of Florida, and then quarterback Michael Johnson, you know, continuing to build that quarterback depth is huge for Penn State. And, you know, being able to show that their increased interest in those guys is this early in the process should help pay dividends down the road.
I wanted to get your thoughts on what Penn State's been able to do in the state of Virginia. Looking back at the 2018 cycle, it's not like Virginia is a new state to Penn State, but I can't really recall a two-year stretch where they've been able to get more high-profile talent than they did now. Looking at 2018, Nana Asidu and Ricky Slade, two of the top players in the state of Virginia. Then in 2019, Devin Ford, Brandon Smith, Hakeem Beeman. You're looking at five pretty elite players in two cycles. What's behind all this? What are the makings of this, the different components of how Penn State was able to take a step forward in Virginia?
Well, Virginia has always been a pretty good area for Penn State, going back to, you know, Larry Johnson recruiting that state for the Nittany Lions. And I think they've gotten a great foothold, Nana Asidu and Ricky Slade last year. And that really helped carry forward to Devin Ford, Brandon Smith, Hakeem Beeman this year. You know, Juwan Sider has been doing a really good job in the state. And I think the way the staff recruits as a whole made a huge impression on these specific players. I think, you know, even if these players weren't in the state of Virginia, I think their mindsets really mesh with the way that Penn State recruits, the way they play, and the mindset of the team. I think these players really mesh well with that. And, you know, even if they weren't in Virginia, I'm pretty sure they would have been major Penn State targets. The fact that they were in Virginia helped Penn State even more. You know, with all the connections that they've had in the state throughout the last number of years, I think that was that played a major role.
It's interesting what you say about the mindset, because we talked to Brandon Smith a week or two ago, and he said really what stood out for Penn State was how straightforward and honest they were with their approach. And it seems like the coaching staff is just working really hard in the state of Virginia and really prioritizing that area too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, it's a talent-rich state. We've seen that over the last few years. Even in this recruiting cycle, the 2019 class isn't the most talented that we've seen over the past few years, and they're laying the groundwork for sure for that 2020 and those 2021 classes, which look outstanding, not just in Virginia, but in the whole Mid-Atlantic and Northeast. They're doing a great job laying that groundwork and setting a precedent for how they recruit players, being honest, like you said, Brandon Smith mentioned to you, being really upfront with the way that they're recruiting, having that family feel, and getting players into the program that will mesh with the mindset of everybody that's there.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State recruiting right now with Adam Friedman from Rivals. Looking at Penn State in the Mid-Atlantic and in Virginia, and over the weekend, I guess it was after the Cameron Kelly announcement that he was going to Virginia Tech, which was a little bit of a surprise for a lot of people, myself included. But there was a little bit of, I would say, back and forth where a couple Penn State staffers got involved with just talking about, you know, I saw Jaywon Sider put out a graphic that said we are, and had the outline of Virginia. Kenny Sanders said something along the lines of Penn State essentially owning Virginia. I'm curious your thoughts on, you know, Penn State being in that position and whether it's worth speaking up about, or whether you just let the results stand and kind of quietly go about your business without that flash.
Well, I got a number of texts after that Twitter exchange. You know, Coach Burden from Virginia Tech, who is responsible for recruiting the Virginia Beach, Chesapeake area for the Hokies, you know, he tweeted something out about, you know, with the outline of Virginia in the sand, you know, making sure that everybody knew that Virginia Beach was their territory. And then Coach Sider came back with his tweet and so on and so forth. My phone kind of lit up right after that, with a lot of people mentioning it. It's fun to see the back and forth. Certainly, recruiting rivals, you know, they don't play each other during the season, but watching the two programs who've obviously historically recruited the state and that specific region very well, it's fun to see the back and forth. You know, both programs are clearly on the rise. Penn State, you know, having a lot of success on the field. Virginia Tech, with the new coaching staff there, had a above average season for them last year, and really, really getting back to the forefront of the college football world. It's fun to see the two go back and forth at that friendly rivalry, that recruiting rivalry that they, you know, have against each other there. It's fun to see. Myself in particular, I don't necessarily see any problem with kind of letting each other know that, hey, we're recruiting this area, we're coming after your players, this, that, and the other. I think it's fun to watch for me and for the fans. You know, of course, you know, seeing that rivalry turn into something on the field would also be fun too, I'm sure.
And I think we'll see that one 2020, I believe, when Penn State plays Virginia Tech. Down in Blacksburg, September 12th, 2020. I think we got a standalone game? Yeah, 2020. So it'll be interesting, especially as you say, with the classes shaping up the way that they are in 2020 and 2021. I don't think this little rivalry is going away, and you will get a chance to see it side by side on the field. Speaking of talent in Virginia, Rivals is higher on Devin Ford than it looks like the other outlets are. I'm just curious if you can speak to what you guys see in Devin Ford and why he's got that five-star designation through you guys.
Sure. I love Devin Ford. I've seen him since he was a freshman. And I mean, the way that he's developed over the years, his size, his speed, his vision, how fluid an athlete he is. Those are the things that really stand out to me outside of the pure production that he's had over the last few years. He's a pretty durable player. I love, you know, where he's at right now. A lot of people ask me how he compares to Saquon Barkley coming out of high school. And, you know, Saquon was certainly a bigger back, Not necessarily as explosive. I put them similar spots in their development right now. Ford is a little bit more physically more talented as a runner. I think he has a little bit better vision right now. And you know, we all know how Saquon progressed once he got to Penn State in the program there. And I kind of see some of that coming for Devin once he gets on campus and into the strength and conditioning program, learning how to run behind blockers like what he's going to have at Penn State. I think that's what really put him over the edge for the Nittany Lions, what he's going to have in front of him, the talent that's going to be around him, you know, not having to do it all himself. I think that's something that Devin really liked. But he's a guy who I've seen develop really well over the last few years, especially in his cutback running abilities. He's got the speed to take it the distance from pretty much anywhere on the field, but he's not one of those really, really quick guys. He's kind of got deceptive long speed, I would say. But I think he's a tough runner who can run inside, outside. He's got pretty good hands. We saw that at this year's and last year's Rivals Camp Series presented by Adidas. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do at Penn State. You know, they've got some really good running backs up there. And I think Devin, you know, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field, even with Slade and you know, Sanders already there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, all the things that you're saying, I think physically he's a great-looking prospect, productive. But you can just see his feel for the position. I think it's very advanced. And somewhere between I think Saquon Barkley as a high school player, it was a little bit more dynamic with those jump cuts and all that kind of stuff. You saw that certainly play out in college. Miles Sanders, a little bit more north-south. Devin Ford, style-wise, seemed to be kind of straight down the middle of these two guys. But the thing that really jumps out, we got about 45 seconds, but the runs with multiple speeds, you know, and I think that's something, there's a lot of stuff that Devin Ford does now that just can't be taught.
Yeah, it's a great feel for the game. You mentioned inside, outside, you know, he has a lot of the athleticism that Saquon had, but he has some of the speed aspects that Miles has. I think he's going to be a great fit in that offense and be pretty much an every down back for them.
And going forward, I mean, Ricky, to pair him up with Ricky Slade and all Virginia backfield, perhaps.
Yeah, something that they could have on display when they go to Blacksburg and play Virginia Tech. Wouldn't that be something to see?
That would be a little bit of a little strike there for against the Hokies. So September 12th, 2020, Penn State, Virginia Tech. In the meantime, I would expect some more head-to-head battles. Penn State clearly making Virginia a priority. Pennsylvania, not quite what they're used to seeing talent-wise in the 19 cycle. They've done a really good job in New England and Virginia. Adam Friedman, thanks so much for tuning in.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's it for quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions coming up right after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hi, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stop by Route 15 Beverage Express for the best selection of craft, domestic, and import beer in the area. Let our friendly and knowledgeable staff provide you with the best service in the area. And don't forget, June 23rd, we are saying thank you for 15 wonderful years of service. Stop by from noon to 4 for free food from 409 Tailgate Club, beer samples, and prizes just off Route 15 South in Dillsburg.